Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
My paper went a bit...
It went a bit faster.
Drooped down. I was trying to look all professional with my erect paper.
And happens to a lot of men. Don't worry about it.
Which is why we're sponsored by a little tablet that lets your paper stand... fully upright for a full episode of a video game podcast.
Yeah. Up to 3 hours. If it's longer than that, you need to phone A&E.
Yeah. Go to hospital. Hello, welcome. How are you guys doing?
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Great.
Looking Fantastic. Forward to next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's a flipping D&D stream.
Oh, whoa. Yes, of course.
This time next week. Well, maybe not right this second next week, but... this day next week, we'll be preparing for our D&D stream that's happening in the evening of Thursday, April 25th. So I'm really excited for it, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. We've been finalizing some details this week. It'll be kicking off at 7 p.m. on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. You can go and set a reminder now, youtube.com/TeamTripleJump/live. Alternatively, I imagine it just shows up in your sub box.
Yeah, I think if you go on the channel.
So please do join us if you can. Of course, the VOD will be up after the fact. It should run us about 3 hours. Very excited to see what Kat, our writer and dungeon master for the evening, has in store for us. It'll be a one shot, so it should all be self-contained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very excited. Mm-hmm. Each and every week on this podcast, we're sponsored by, if I can get my paper, a very real video game adjacent sponsor. I have the ad read this week.
Yeah.
Can you see him? Is he here? Dead Island 2, the spider? Is he around?
No.
Not there.
I don't know where he is.
I haven't seen him.
He's MIA, buy the t-shirt.
Mm. Yes, buy the t-shirt, triplejumpshop.com. So I've written it down.
Oh yeah?
I've got it all written down.
Here we go.
It's very small because our printer's still not working. So it's been printed on in this office and they print things small. For me, anyway.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. The Fallout TV show and Cosgrove Hall Films...
Oh, I love them.
I thought you would. ...are excited to collaborate, announcing this week that due to the popularity of protagonist Lucy and her now iconic catchphrase, Okie Dokie, infinitely less popular children's claymation nightmare Okie Doke will feature in the second season of Fallout in a starring role. You won't understand.
Is there any name for that? That went straight over my head.
Just Fallout Season 2. It's going to have Okie Doke in it. Now, of course, in Season 1 of Fallout, and this is a huge spoiler, of course, every time that Lucy, the protagonist, says Okie Doke, you can see him in the background. You can see Okie Doke in the background.
Just briefly.
Going
down the slide.
Yeah, he's sort of doing something in the background in a sort of haunting stop motion way.
Who
are you about to show Ashton
Okie Doke?
Oh, here we go. Will this get us struck?
Possibly. I'll turn it down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Problem and you need a helping hand. Cross the down and ring the bell.
I really wanted his house as a kid.
It looks like a fun playset, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a goblin.
No, he's
an acorn man.
Mr. Okie Doke.
Here he comes.
And what's this from?
BBC.
BBC.
It ran between 1995 and 1997, or 96, okay. According to Wikipedia, when I was...
All right, cool.
In the middle of episodes, you'd have a little bit of El Nombre as well.
Yes, love El Nombre. That was a classic of being off sick.
It stopped before I was born. So.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it was definitely
bit
still
niche,
played after.
I think, for the wide audience of the Fallout TV show. But hey, maybe it works.
But this is why they want to reach a new audience, which is Peter Austin, yeah. who presumably has not seen the Fallout TV show because
not yet.
Are you interested in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I am.
Would you be more interested in it if Okey-Doke was in it?
Do you know what? I'd rather keep those worlds separate.
Really?
Yeah.
In the world of multiverses.
I don't know if I'd want him to go through a post-apocalypse. He seems like a nice man, and if all the trees are
all
dead.
All the woodland creatures.
That's true, but what if he's thriving? Creatures.
Maybe he's mutated and
yeah.
he's become
well, I mean,
you're
telling
monster.
Me that that thing wasn't mutated.
Yeah, I mean, even more.
He's an acorn man.
Is yeah. he what Three Dog is talking about when he says, somewhere in the wasteland, there are real trees.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Is it Harold? He's in Fallout, isn't he? He's the tree man.
Oh, yeah.
The ghoul that he had a sapling there. Growing out of his head.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
it got bigger and bigger until it sort of took root. And now he's trapped in a tree and people worship him. And yeah. he just wants to die and people keep worshiping him. Mm-hmm. That could be Okey-Doke
that
is all I'm saying.
Him.
Yeah.
So if they're going to adapt some of the storylines from Fallout, the game for season two,
yeah.
that could be a perfect place for children's claymation nightmare. Okey doke.
But will you know he still want him? To die?
Hmm?
But will he still want to die?
We'll have to tune Probably. In and find out, won't yeah. we?
Andrew.
Andrew loves Okey doke.
Loves Okey doke.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he's a huge fan.
He likes to slap his head and go,
say, stroke the oak.
Yes. So this is a whole world you're stepping
sometimes,
into, Ashton.
Sometimes, like, I forget that we're different ages.
Yeah.
And then other times I'm like...
It couldn't be more obvious.
Yeah, it's like yeah. pushed against
it's
me so aggressively that it really reminds
we
me
We had
that,
very different experiences. Yeah.
Did you ever worry that yeah. Maybe, like, a few of us have got together ahead of time and said, let's pretend
Let's
that
make up
a program
some chuggy, chuggy
Honestly, sometimes I do think, there's no way this could be real. Like, you'll say things and I'm listening to you talk and I do think, I think they're messing with me. But then every time you're not, like
Remember
it's an actual
we said Charlie
thing.
Chalk?
Oh, yeah, you didn't know
just
what Charlie Chalk
conversation
was.
And
yeah.
you're like, who the hell is that?
And I just quietly am like dealing with,
I mean,
what are they talking
fair,
about again?
Sort like, of 60s to 90s British children's television is niche in and of itself.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, no, there'll be no international viewers of a lot of the stuff that we grew up watching.
No.
And you're right. Like, as soon as basically Tracy Beaker started, all that stuff was like, it never happened.
Because they were recycling a lot of it for decades.
They were, yeah.
They stopped.
But like, I used to watch CBeebies and CBBC. Mm. So like, I did watch BBC
Where was
Kids TV and he wasn't on it.
Well.
Well, maybe at least not when I was a sentient human being.
Possibly.
He may have been on it when I was a baby.
Yes, he may have been around.
I think it literally was a millennium thing where as soon as 2000 rolled around, everything had to be really futuristic and cool.
LCD TVs, plasma screens, remember? You squeeze them and they do the weird, like, crystallizing effect. I mean, they still do that now, but plasma screens were crap, weren't they? Weren't even HD. Anyway, so the Fallout TV show... That's real, obviously.
Yeah.
Okey-Doke is real. However, I'm sorry to confirm that Okey-Doke will not be showing up as an homage to Okey-Dokey, which the character Lucy says quite a lot in the show.
Yeah. Right,
okay. It's a shame. We're not sponsored by that, but we are sponsored by our wonderful patrons. If you go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at, well, any tier, you get access to a whole load of rewards, including asking questions on this podcast, early access to Worst and Weirdest Games episodes, and exclusive access to episodes of Rules Boss and Main Menu. We thank you in advance for your patronage if you're in a position to do so. A few places around the internet you can find us, triplejump.mup, that's our website, that's where you can find links to everything we do. You can find our YouTube, so you can set a reminder for our D&D session.
Mm-hmm.
Our Twitch, where we stream daily during the week. Our Discord, if you want to say hello to people there. And Cameo, if you want to get a cameo from us. Mm-hmm. TripleJumpShop.com is where you can buy amazing merch, like this jacket, this shirt, that hoodie. Not really representing today, are you?
No,
actually?
I was thinking about this earlier. I don't really wear merch as much as I probably should. Should make an effort on a Thursday to wear it.
You don't have to do
I just don't like t-shirts very much.
No? Mm-hmm.
No, I just don't think I look good in a t-shirt. And a lot of the merch is t-shirts.
Okay. Well, we've got lots of amazing hoodies as well.
Yeah, lots of hoodies. I wear the hoodies a lot.
You could half shirt them. You could cut them.
Well,
maybe
I can't
not the spider
because
one.
You stick a bunch of thing all the way down
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I can't half shirt it because I'd chop like...
Half of
Dead Island
2
in half.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, the design. I was confused about what you meant.
Nobody
then.
Thinks about me when they design merch.
No, they don't. You're right. They don't because they shouldn't
Nobody
need to.
Nobody takes in consideration what I want to do with a T-shirt. Anyway.
Hey, next time we'll just release a shirt that has a scissor line on it.
That'd
which people will be very confused about when they see people wearing it in public.
Yeah.
And patreon.com, once again, /... Team Triple Jump. The main thing we want to promote this week is obviously the D&D stream.
Yep.
Next Thursday, the 25th, 7 p.m. Be there or be on the VODs channel.
Lame. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Be on the VODs channel. But do come along live if you can. It's a big celebration of 300,000 subscribers, which is a real achievement for us. So please come and celebrate with us if you can. Mm-hmm. Is it time for question one?
I think it might be.
Everyone take cover. There's a cormoran strike
coming
hell.
In. Oh, God, not
they're,
again.
They're swooping down. That's Thank a you. Cormorant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you guys warm enough, by the way?
I'm all right.
I'm good, thanks.
So is that, yes, you're too warm or you're fine?
If you're too warm, you can turn it off.
I'm getting blasted
with
heat.
Turn it off, then.
We can put it back on in a bit.
Cormoran Strike asks, or says, Hiya, Bap. With the news that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is underperforming sales-wise, what do you think this says about the future of the Final Fantasy series? Is single-player Final Fantasy truly something of the boomer gamer now?
Oh, my heart. The boomer gamer. No.
I've got a write-up here from...
Where do you want it to be from?
I've forgotten where I got it from, because I went between a couple of sources. I think it was Eurogamer, but I don't know. So, never mind. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has reportedly sold... bless you.
Sorry.
About half the sales of its predecessor, Remake, in the same time frame. That's according to industry analyst Daniel Ahmad, who confirmed earlier today that the highly anticipated RPG is, quote, underperforming sales-wise. Oh. Not to be that guy, but Rebirth is underperforming sales-wise, Ahmad, who is the director of research and insights at Nico Partners, said on Twitter/X. When asked to justify his statement, Ahmad added, it's selling about half of what Remake sold in the time frame, and it looks like it'll have a weaker tail prior to any PS Plus-like release. When then pressed for a source, Ahmad confirmed the sales data comes from Equities Research Reports, who are getting the data from the usual trackers. So there you go. It's underperforming. I think there are a couple of reasons why this might be happening that aren't necessarily its fault. It's kind of something that is happening across the entire industry right now, and decisions seem to have been made that maybe were a little bit foolish, where, for example, lots and lots of people were hired during the pandemic because gaming sales and interest spiked. And then now, unfortunately, a lot of those people are being let go. I think this might be partly what we're seeing here. You know, Final Fantasy VII Remake came... mid-COVID, we are now post-COVID in air quotes, and there's also a cost of living crisis as a result of COVID, so maybe sales are down for those reasons. Also, it came at the end of the PS4's life cycle when there were about 100 million units sold. There are currently 50 million units sold of the PS5, which is half as many, so perhaps it stands to reason that around half as many copies of this game have been sold. Maybe, I don't think it probably works like for like that, like a linear correlation. Mm. But, you know, there are a few reasons why potentially this game is not performing as well as the first. And also, just generally, I think you often, not always, but you often have a drop-off with any kind of sequel, because anyone who played the first one and thought, it's not for me, I'm not interested in that anymore, they're not going to buy the second one. So, of course, you're not...
Or anyone who didn't buy the first one, who hasn't got around to playing the first one yet, isn't going to buy the second
Exactly.
one.
So you're not... It's unlikely, it's not unheard of, but it's unlikely that you're going to gain more players in a sequel, that is particularly one that just immediately carries on the story of the previous, you know, as opposed to a first outing. Obviously, it's not a first outing in the truest sense, but equivalent to, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that like the cost of games nowadays is too expensive for a lot of people. And we talked about this last week in terms of like games being too long and people not sinking as much time into them.
Yeah.
And I think that's also affecting it. But I asked the community what they thought. And
were they rational?
Some were.
Okay.
The general consensus was either it was too expensive and people haven't been able to afford to fork out 70 quid for it yet, or they haven't got PlayStation 5, and because it's an exclusive, there's limiting their player base already, like you said, and people haven't necessarily got the money to spend on a PlayStation 5 at the moment, so that's even less reasons that people are buying it, because they haven't got anything to play it on. And very much similar to what we were saying, they either haven't played Remake or have played it, didn't enjoy it so much, and are waiting for the price to come down for the second one if they're going to pay for it, or alternatively are waiting for all three games to be out so that they can just play through the entire story in one go.
Yeah.
I think Final Fantasy Rebirth slash remake slash whatever the third one's called is a kind of unique situation in the sense that it is a game that's already out that is now across like 10 years of releases, basically, is what we're going to have. Maybe not 10 years, but a pretty significant amount of time mm-hmm. for the story that is already out in some version in another game. And I think that they were really trying to hammer home with a lot of the marketing that like, oh, you can just jump into this one. Mm-hmm. But I think that like, unfortunately, you can't really just jump into this one without being totally baffled by what's going on. And also, I think that you'd miss out on a lot. But people just don't want to do that. No one wants to play a second iteration of a story, like a narrative story.
Jump in halfway through.
Yeah. Like we've said before, like, oh, I mean, you said that like you'd be apprehensive about playing a game in a series without having played earlier ones.
I often, yeah.
Yeah. Do that. But some of them don't, you know, correspond to each other. So you can kind of get away with it. But this is literally the continuation of a story. And if you jumped in now, or if you jumped in on the third game, it wouldn't make any sense. So I do think that it's not necessarily underperforming in the sense that like, oh, no one's buying it, no one's talking about it. It's just they've got these high expectations from the first one. Square do this all the time. Yeah. They literally say this all the time. They set their sights so high and then a game will do well, but not well enough for them, and they'll say it's underperforming.
They did that with 16. They said this doesn't met our expectations, and it had like still it was like the best selling game in Japan and North America in its first week.
Yeah, exactly.
And sold millions of units.
Exactly. I think that like I don't trust Square when they say something's underperforming because I don't believe them that this is the case because it's not. They've sold so many copies of the game. But yeah, I just think there's a whole bunch of reasons this game hasn't sold well. There's nothing to do with the quality of the game. The game's great, but it's a bad time for games right now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I find so interesting about this story in particular is that for once it isn't Square that's the one who's saying,
this time it isn't.
Oh, it hasn't, because it, I mean, let's be honest, it's probably only a matter of time before they say, hasn't met our expectations, which mm-hmm. are always absurd. Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a release where they've been like, love this, it's done really well, really happy with this. They are always, they're famous for reporting that their games have not met internal expectations. We haven't had them say this about this game yet. This is obviously, as you said, Peter, an industry analyst. Yeah. So could be that they're waiting for a certain amount of time before they talk about whether or not they're pleased with how it sold, or, you know, maybe there's an impending PC release coming up and they'll, you know, they'll see how it does there first. Mm. But I think you guys have hit the nail on the head in that I feel like, before circling back to Korma and Strike's question about whether, you know, the sort of time is up on single player Final Fantasy games, I think largely the performance of this is sort of out of their hands. Obviously, I'm going to hit a lot of points you guys have said, but obviously it is it's an exclusive game, which is already limiting who it can be played by. And then you've got to factor in the fact that the hype that came with the first remake was absolutely unreal. Mm-hmm. You know, that people have been waiting 20 years for this. And it was locked down not only in terms of the amount of hiring that was going on, but in terms of the captive audience of people who were just like, great. I've you know, people have been talking about Final Fantasy VII for 25 years about how amazing it is. And the remake is coming out. They may not have been aware that it's just part one, but still, you know, that would definitely have contributed to sales. And games were cheaper. You're right, Ashton, in that you cannot play the second one without playing the first. So it's much harder to coax new players in at that point.
Did they release the remake on like a PlayStation Plus or anything? Because I can't remember if they did.
Way after the fact.
I was wondering if like ahead of this game coming out, if they would have released remake on PlayStation Plus, something, but I couldn't remember if they had.
I think they did, but it wasn't in relation to Rebirth. I think it was just like a couple of years ago they released it, like halfway through when they'd got all their sales, I would imagine. It's hard to coax new players in because it's part way through what was originally one story and is now three stories. So you've got to work out how to end it in a satisfying way so that you can pick up, which maybe they did or didn't do very well this time around. For existing players then, and potential new players alike, there's also just incredible competition for things to play.
Yeah.
So not only are you challenging yourself by trying to get new players in on a partly told story, potentially with no context to the first one, but that existing player base has so much vying for their attention. I know we've entered a sort of quieter period now, but the start of the year was kind of mental.
And last
year
of
was
RPGs.
Insane as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of RPGs, a lot of JRPGs too. Mm. And then you're right, Ashton, people are probably waiting for all three games to release.
Yeah,
so that's also definitely a factor. I personally really hope that this doesn't impact the third one. Again, we don't know if Square is disappointed or if this is going to impact anything as it stands. Certainly, I feel like if they did need to make a change, they could probably reel in the scope a bit because Rebirth was bloated as hell and they could definitely take some stuff out of it. In terms of what Cormorant Strike asks about, you know, are single-player Final Fantasy games truly something for the boomer gamer? Mm-hmm. I really hope not, but it does take them so long to make. Like, they are a huge undertaking. The production value is always insane. Story's not always the most, you know, solid part. But I firmly believe that there's such a huge contingent of Final Fantasy fans, and Final Fantasy is such a big brand that it wouldn't be... I feel like it would be unwise to sort of abandon single-player Final Fantasy games, but maybe they need to do away with the exclusivity and the money that's being offered to them for the exclusivity simply just isn't worth it for the long-term health of the franchise.
Just because something isn't necessarily their best-selling format, and, you know, is that even the case? As we've said, we've kind of explained why maybe this most recent release isn't doing as well, but you need further data points, I think, to say for sure now whether like single player ones are being affected. But
is it just that it's Final Fantasy 14 is the online one. MMOs?
Yeah. It? But you know, if for argument's sake you do say, oh well, yeah, here's all this data and it proves now that like this is just for the boomer players, that isn't, even in and of itself, is not necessarily a reason to kind of stop making them or whatever. Like, you know, as long as they're still earning their keep, you can continue.
There's enough boomers.
Yeah, there are plenty of boomers.
Quite a few,
out there.
Especially if you're considering 30-year-old people boomers. Yeah. There's loads of them, and
so
they love games.
Even if we conclude that, like, these are for the boomers and only really for the boomers, then that doesn't necessarily have to be a really, really bad thing. As long as Square still think, okay, well, we'll occasionally make these boomer games then and make some money off those.
Also, boomers are the only ones who have any money.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very true. Yeah. They're literally, I wouldn't be surprised if the sales of Rebirth were solely boomers who had the £70 to shell out for it. One final point is that since Final Fantasy VII Remake came out, after like such a prolonged period of, hey, we stuck Cloud in like some game you don't care about, and everyone was like, please just give us more Final Fantasy VII. We have had non-stop Final Fantasy VII content.
Yeah.
So it could be an element of fatigue, but it could also just be an element of people are sated. You know, there. As I said, there was a huge amount of hype, obviously, for Remake because it had been 23 years since the original had come out, and it was so beloved. But by the time Rebirth rolled around, you know, we had the Integrate DLC. We had the flipping
Crisis Core
remaster remake hybrid thing. We've had the various iOS thingies and all sorts of stuff. Like, it hasn't really stopped, which has been great if you're a Final Fantasy VII fan. But in the context of a new game coming out, perhaps people weren't quite as rabid because they've had their fix.
Yeah,
You know, they've had plenty to go on in that time. Well, what were you going
to
say?
Huh? I just wanted to test run a segment by you both, where we talk about what games we've been like playing this week, and thought we could call it "What We Play In."
Very well.
It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about the games what we have been playing. Peter, what have you been playing?
I ended up kind of surprising. What's the word?
Hello?
Hello.
Not surprisingly. Well, surprisingly would work in this sentence, but it wasn't the word I was looking for. I'm going to use the word surprisingly.
Okay.
I ended up surprisingly finishing Tomb Raider 2. Kind of I was like, that's the end. All right, fine, great. Fine. So fought a dragon and stuff. And now I'm on Tomb Raider 3 and I'm enjoying myself because I'm just shooting baboons and things.
I hate baboons.
I hate them. Horrid.
Get rid of them all. Shoot them all.
Put them in the monkey dungeon.
Not the monkey dungeon. Oh, no one will know what that is.
Week's podcast.
Was it on the podcast?
Yeah.
It wasn't After Dark. We didn't do it after Dark.
We were talking about your birthday when you talked about the monkey dungeon.
Yeah. The monkey dungeon. Mm-hmm. Put them in the monkey dungeon and then shoot them. That sounds like a war
crime. That is a war crime. Yeah.
But I'm enjoying that. It's the one I'm the most familiar with. So I, at least for now, have not been stuck. But I will eventually reach a point where I didn't get past that as a child, and I now don't know where I'm, what I'm doing. But, you know, I've locked the butler in the freezer.
Hell yeah.
There's a quad bike in Lara's house, and I'm shooting monkeys. So that's great. Also, though, yesterday, I scratched an itch that appeared during the working day.
Shouldn't do that. No, you get a cream.
Don't do that. Go to the doctor. Don't scratch.
Mummy, get the cream.
Mummy, get the... No, bring me to
bring
mummy.
Me to bring mummy. Me to mummy. Get me the cream.
Sorry. Yeah.
In my sub box at lunchtime, I saw one of those... what's he called? Young Scrolls remixes. The guy who does the auto-tuned Elder Scrolls characters singing okay. songs, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, another one of those. And last night I booted up Skyrim.
Wow.
Started Skyrim and started playing it.
Jesus.
Again. So I had a really nice time with that. I don't think I've ever reached the Ben Potter stage of full Skyrim fatigue. Like, I will probably.
It's
never
probably
play it
a
again.
World record speed run for anyone in the world to get bored of Skyrim as quickly as I did.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then I played too much.
But we were sort of jokingly talking about I mentioned the Bard's College and yesterday on our office chat, and I was like, I never did the Bard's College quest line. And so that's what I've done. I've created a character who, in my mind, is a bard. Not that you can do anything like day to day as a bard, but, you know, I've dressed him up in nice clothes and I wander around fighting monsters, and I'm going to join the Bard's College and see what happens. So played that for about 3 hours last night.
Nice.
And had a nice time. Probably I might not bother with the dragon issue at all.
Just, they'll be fine.
Just be
just
a
going
bard.
To be learned, I'm just going to learn to sing.
Yeah, and then quit the game maybe when I get inevitably barred of it after a few weeks. But yeah, yesterday I was like, oh, Skyrim. Remember Skyrim? And I played it. So that's what I've been doing.
Amazing.
Lovely. Ashton. I played a few things because I finally finished Final Fantasy VII last week. What a weird ending. What a weird game.
Mm.
Really... like, don't give you any time to really process what's going on and also have any kind of emotional reaction to what happens, because then you just have to do like a 6-layer boss fight that goes on for ages. Weird ending. Enjoyed that game. Weird, though. Didn't really know what was going on 95% of the time. Quite baffled. Like, just
don't worry, that'll only be 5 years.
Yeah.
Flyby.
I think this was not as strong of a game as a remake was. It was fun. I enjoyed the like open world stuff. I enjoyed most of the narrative, but some bits of it had me completely lost. So,
do you think you'd have enjoyed it more if you'd not? I'm not saying you shouldn't have done, but if you'd not stopped to do everything along the way.
That wasn't really my issue. No. I enjoyed all the stuff I did. I think I wouldn't have done, like, if I didn't enjoy a minigame, I just didn't do it again.
Right.
Like, I've not got like 100% in all the minigames. I've not gone back and once I finished it, I'd finished the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I was done. I did all of the side stuff that I wanted to do. I cleared off all the dots on my map, and that's fine with me. And I don't like, that's fine. It was the story that lost me, right. If anything.
What if Okie Doke was in it? Mm. Would you have enjoyed it more then?
Who's to say?
Andrew.
Only one way to find out. Let's mod him in.
Yeah. So after I finish Final Fantasy VII, I am in funny limbo because I have a game coming out next month that I really want to play. But,
what's that?
Hellblade 2.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't really got anything on my radar right now. So I decided to go on the PlayStation Extra catalogue and download a bunch of games. So I have played some Humanity, which I don't know if you remember this one. Little dog leading like humans around. There's like big hordes of people, and then
I think I think like I vaguely remember that from a state of play or something.
Yeah, was it a state of play? That's a puzzle game. It's good fun, though. I do find myself having to Google things a significant amount of time, because I keep getting confused. Because there's like at one point you have to go against enemies that are fighting you and will kill all of your guys, and they kept killing all of my guys, and I didn't know what. to do, and I was very confused. The word perpendicular came up, and I was completely baffled by that word. And then I asked my boyfriend, what does perpendicular mean in this context? And he said something, and then that was wrong, and then I had to Google it.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so it's fun. Some of the puzzles are quite difficult. Last night I was playing it, and I was like, I need to turn this game off because I am having a good time, but I'm too tired right now. So I'm really close to the end, but it's quite difficult in places. I've played some more House Flipper 2. They added two more missions. I finished the two more missions. Great. And then I uninstalled the game again. I played some Humankind, not to be confused with Humanity. Humankind is the like Age of Empires type situation. Played it after a few glasses of wine, was very confused. Didn't know what was going on. Wasn't reading any of the tutorials. And I was like,
that's the best way to play.
I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then eventually just turned it off. It's not the game's fault. It was a me problem. I played it on stream, but I want to talk about it because I thought it was really good. I played Botany Manor on stream, which is a puzzle game about flowers. I had a really lovely time with that game, and the puzzles were really well done, and everything like it was fun to figure stuff out, and all the puzzles were kind of like, you're finding information on like posters and in books and in letters and stuff, and you have to use those clues to help figure out how to make plants grow. And yeah, I had a really lovely time with that game. It's gorgeous and the puzzles are really well done. Mm. And the last thing I've played, I promise I'll stop talking now.
That's
all right. Is Carto, which is another indie game on the Extra catalogue, where you are a little girl who has fallen out of her airship and landed on an island. And you are basically finding bits of maps and then putting it onto your map, and then that adds somewhere else to explore.
Okay.
So like the more bits of map you find, the more you'll find. And then also there's like context clues of like a guy being like, my house is on the east of the island. So you have to move that map square to the east of the island to make his house appear. I was playing that last night and I was having a wonderful time. A really pretty game again. And again, another puzzle game. I've been playing lots of puzzle games this week. But yeah, that's good fun. And on the Extra catalogue, once I've finished those, my aim is to play Dave the Diver. They've just added that onto the Extra catalogue. But I've been playing these in the meantime.
Nice. So. Yeah. I'm sort of filling for time as well because of Harold Halibut.
Yeah.
That you mentioned yesterday, which I'm hoping to start this week if I can.
Yeah.
I have played a number of things. None of them, in fact, a couple of them are games that I will continue to play, but I'm in a similar space where I've finished all of my big games, and now I'm just sort of, it's quite nice not having to immediately move on to the next big thing that's come out. And I don't think I've got anything major in my back catalogue, but at some point soon I'll pick something out to really get stuck into. But my girlfriend and I did what we called a regression weekend, where we planned in advance sort of TV shows, movies, video games, food from when we were teenagers / much younger kids, and just spent the whole weekend regressing to our sort of adolescent state.
Watching Okie Doke.
Not watching Okie Doke, unfortunately. That would have been too scary. So we were watching Pokemon, Powerpuff Girls, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Powerpuff Girls is a great TV show.
It's really good. I'd never seen it before. I didn't have the relevant television capabilities, but it was good. I enjoyed it. So I played all sorts of things, including Pokemon Gold. I've played Time Splitters Future Perfect, which I have been really enjoying, and we'll finish that off probably. RuneScape. Mm-hmm. Played some RuneScape. Portal 2, the co-op campaign. Mm-hmm. Played some The Sims 2 on PlayStation 2 in split screen.
I had that on PS2, yeah.
Sonic Riders, which was crap. My Street, which is even worse, which is a game I was never familiar with. It's potential weirdest games fodder, but we do so many of these like party game collections that I don't think I'll bring it. But it's just you create a kid and then you're on your street. And then everyone on the street has a different game for you to play.
Right.
But they're all terribly explained and really hard or broken. And it was awful. And then the last thing I played was a bit of Oblivion, which wasn't part of the regression weekend, but I was just sat around like, I don't really know what to do. So I booted up my Oblivion save and I finished the Mages Guild quest line. Mm-hmm. And then I closed it again because I'd sort of the magic had worn off and I wasn't really interested in
the magic had worn off.
Yes. I wasn't in, the only guild I have left is the Fighters Guild and I couldn't really be bothered. Mm. Yeah, so I don't know when I'll go back to that, but at least I've got a save file that's ready to go. So I played loads of different things and I enjoyed all of them very much. It was a real thing listening to like noughties metal music, drinking WKD and playing RuneScape.
WKD.
It was great. Honestly, I had the best time. Nice. And then I had fish fingers for tea.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
Was the My Street, was that brought by your partner?
Yes, it right. was. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, that's not one of mine.
Just find, well, I knew it wasn't one of yours, but
no. Yeah.
You didn't both just discover it there.
Absolutely
then.
Not, but I did buy it so I could, because I was playing on a PS, like an actual PS2 for most of it, but I have a really cheap HDMI converter that just makes all the games incredibly dark and really hard to see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we played like half of Time Splitters Future Perfect with this awful capture device and then decided to emulate instead, and then we could actually see what the hell was going on.
Well, and all the walls weren't invisible.
All the walls were not invisible. It worked better than when we did it last time. So there we are. Played all sorts of things. I don't know what I'm going to get stuck into next time.
Well, it's time for question two now then. Comes from Big Money Bobby Vegas. Hello, APB. News continues to rumble on regarding the PlayStation 5 Pro, with Sony now reportedly advising developers to prepare for the new hardware and to add enhancements wherever possible, with a particular emphasis on ray tracing. Bearing in mind the base PlayStation 5 was already supposed to deliver quality ray tracing and up to 8K gaming, the PS5 Pro is either a hat on top of a hat or demonstrable proof that the base PS5 doesn't do everything Sony said it would. Either way, I'm about as excited for the PlayStation 5 Pro as I am for my next tax bill. What are your thoughts? Yours, in the spirit of friendship and wealth, BMBV.
Thank you, BMBV.
Thank you very much.
Well, I won't be getting one unless my PS5 happens to die. And then if I need to replace it, I probably would get a Pro. Shrug. Question mark. But yeah, it seems maybe the better option to go for. But yeah, I kind of feel for developers here, because this kind of seems to have been the issue for this entire generation so far, is like not really knowing exactly what they should or shouldn't be doing in terms of development. Like, should they be making things that can run on a PS4 as well? Should they be making things that can run just on current gen? Now they're being told, hey, don't forget about 8K and ray tracing. I mean, in a sense, it's good to hear Sony saying, right, we want you to be making stuff now that is current gen. We want you to push the boat out and really try and like make some impressive stuff. I hope that is what people start to do. Well, I feel like they already have. I feel like we don't have as much of the kind of cross generational releases now that we did in maybe a year or two ago. But yeah, certainly if Sony are encouraging people to really try and push these consoles to their limit now, that's probably a good thing if they actually work and do what they're supposed to do. Because as BMBV mentions, the PS5 was already supposed to be able to do some or all of this. In a lot of cases, you're having to choose whether to go performance mode or, you know, enhanced beautiful mode. And again, that perhaps comes down to the way these games are built so that they run on multiple platforms. And that is why the PS5 isn't able to make them look and run as well as they should. So perhaps if they are being focused now on just a single generation, we won't have to make that decision anymore. But it's good to hear from Sony, but I think the proof of the pudding will be in the frame rate.
Yeah. I do think it's a bit cheeky, like BMBV says, that these are things that I was under the impression we already had. Mm. So it's very interesting to know that these are the selling points and the things to look out for with the PlayStation 5 Pro. I think we've said before about when they first announced the specs about whether we'd consider buying one outright. And I think the general consensus was not unless our PlayStation 5 breaks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that like, I don't know what Sony are up to. I feel like everything they do at the moment is just like, we're doing this thing now, deal with it. And we're all just kind of like, okay, cool. Like the Portal and the PlayStation VR 2 and whatever this new handheld might end up being. The controller thing. I just feel like everything they do is kind of like, it's the same, but different is kind of the vibe that I get from a lot of Sony's products at the moment. And I know the PlayStation 4 Pro wasn't necessarily the biggest jump up either, but there was a significant difference with how the PlayStation 4 Pro ran games and how the PS4 base model ran games. And there's not going to be that significant difference between the PlayStation 5 and the Pro, because the PlayStation 5 runs pretty much every game you give it pretty well. There's been obviously the odd game that's come out that's not run well, like Jedi Survivor was a little bit juddery. I say a little bit for me, a lot of bit for Peter.
A bit crashy
yeah.
for me.
We've had like issues with certain games, but that's almost come down to the individual games and not the hardware itself. So I wouldn't have sat here and said, I think we need an upgrade now because the PlayStation 5 Pro, the PlayStation 5 isn't running games. And I think that the Pro is just Sony's way of like doing their typical mid-generation upgrade. I don't know necessarily if we needed it. And like you say, I do feel sorry for the devs who are now having to handle another piece of information for their games that maybe will end up pushing games back further depending on when the PlayStation 5 Pro actually launches. But maybe this is, like you say, a sign that there will be more games coming exclusively to PlayStation 5 and less split across the two generations that are running well on PlayStation 5, juddering through PlayStation 4, but could run better had they not had to be marked down for the PlayStation 4. But I also do think a lot of this is, like, the Xbox also isn't necessarily the best in terms of ray tracing and stuff. So this is, again, just like Sony just doing it because they can. Like, they're not fighting off against the Xbox, who is way ahead of them, you know, so... Mm. What do you think?
I mean, we spoke about whether or not we'd want a PS5 Pro previously, and I think all of our arguments and points still stand up. I maintain that this is, people do not need this. Some people will want this. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just buy things because it's new and shiny. Mm-hmm. Some people will buy it even if the promised benefits are minuscule. Some people will still buy it because they need to have it. Some people will be waiting to buy their first PS5 and they'll have heard that there's a PS5 Pro probably coming out at some point. Mm-hmm. They'll think, well, I'll just wait for that and I'll buy the best version. The problem is, though, again, as we discussed before, that it, while the PS4 Pro would have released at this point in the PS4's life cycle, there were, you know, years of unavailability because of scalpers and limitations of stock. And then we also had all of the games releasing on PS4 as well as PS5.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't feel as much like we need an upgrade at this point as it did when the PS4 came out, for example. It does sound like they are going to make some significant improvements to the system itself, and those are available. I think these specs, that the most recent load of specs that came out, the video in which it was discussed was actually taken down by PlayStation, pretty much confirming that they were accurate. Mm-hmm. So it's a safe bet that those are going to be, you know, as advertised. But I don't know. I agree with you, Ashton, in that I just don't really understand what they're doing. I think as long as they're willing to potentially eat a loss on this, which, again, I don't know why they would ever entertain that, then that's fine, because there will be an audience for this, even if it's not most people who have a PlayStation 5 already. But they are making lots of stuff that is seemingly just for their most hardcore invested customers, like the Portal, like the modular
control. Portal?
Not yet, no. Mm. The more modular... I haven't played any PS5 though, since last week. The modular controller, they've recently released some really expensive headphones and earbuds and stuff like that. So they're doing all sorts of high-end stuff. I have no idea what the sales figures on those are like, but clearly they think it's worth doing. And I don't know if this is going to sell particularly well.
But the thing is,
there will be an audience for it though.
Won't this replace the PlayStation 5 in most markets? So realistically, what they're doing is just stopping them needing to bump the price down for the regular PlayStation 5 by just being like, it's a Pro now, and keeping it at £500.
Although they've only just released the Slim, haven't they? So I imagine that this or, you know, the redesign with the modular disc drive, whatever. I would imagine that both SKUs will still be manufactured, but at some point they'll probably start to phase it out. Like, they're not doing the launch PS5 anymore. You can only buy the redesigned one.
Yeah.
And that may well happen there as well. Is it demonstrable proof that the base PS5 doesn't do everything that Sony said it would? I mean, possibly yes. Mm. The box that it came in proudly boasts that it's 8K, which, I mean, could well be possible, but I don't think I've seen a game running in 8K.
I don't have an 8K TV.
And a lot of people don't have 8K televisions. Yes, we are still having to choose between the different modes on our games. And I agree with you guys in that I don't think that's Sony's fault. I think it's the game's fault. I think, or the developer's fault. I think potentially what's going to happen is this PS5 Pro is going to come out. Yes, it's going to run games a lot better artificially with this PlayStation super sampling wizardry that they've got going on in there. But on a base level, you're still going to get served the same games everyone else does. And by and large, those are buggy and they don't run particularly well. And that's not because of the console. It's because the game isn't finished yet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you could well get a PS5 enhanced sticker on a copy of Jedi Survivor, you know, 2 or 3 years after it comes out when they've enhanced it. But if you're getting that at launch, there's a good chance that that's going to behave just as poorly as it does on the base PS5, at which point, was it a worthwhile investment on
your
behalf?
Also, we're not going to see this in action for at least another year because they said they're not having any more games coming out this year. They've got no... They're not making any Sony first-party games, which means there'll be no games designed specifically for the PlayStation 5. There'll be games designed, you know,
to be
for everything. But there won't be anything specifically designed with this in mind for a little while anyway. So we're not actually going to see whether this makes a significant difference.
How do you demo it? How do you demo this to people? Yeah. I don't really understand how they're going to show this off. No. I guarantee that it'll be like Spider-Man 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart and whatever.
God of War or something.
And yeah, we've upgraded it, so it's now PS5 enhanced. It'll run at all these flops and frame rates and resolutions and FUPS and so on.
Yeah.
And it's like, great, okay, that's really good. I'm glad to hear that.
Fine.
But I've already played those games. Yeah. I've played them already. I'm not going to replay them in big flop mode, which then limits that, you know, my argument earlier about some people are waiting to buy the PS5. That then limits that player base even more, you know, that makes it even less appealing.
Mm. I wonder where this sits now on the scale of the fact that certainly Microsoft, and I think as a competitor, Sony by extension, are saying that the next generation is going to be the biggest step up in technology we've ever seen. That's what Microsoft keep boasting now about the next Xbox. If the same is true of the PS6, and one would assume it might have to be if they want to compete, then where is this Pro going to sit on that scale, you know, between PS5 and PS6? I mean, we won't know that until the PS6 is out, really. But I wonder how much can they do now with the PS5 by turning it into a Pro and just beefing it up a bit versus what is coming in the next, well, maybe 4 or 5 years from a new generation entirely. And how's that going to affect the next lot of games that come out in a few years' time that will be starting development probably in the next 2 or 3 years. So it must be all very confusing for these developers to know how sort of far to push these projects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The points we've already made notwithstanding, I think it's just, I feel about the PS5 Pro exactly the same way I felt about the PS4 Pro at the time, which is, well, it exists and that's fine, but like, I don't need one. My PS4 works absolutely, you know, without a hitch. And then a couple of years later, when the opportunity presented itself, I ended up with a PS4 Pro and I was like, great, this runs things way better than my original PS4. But even at that point in the PS4's life cycle, it was too soon for me personally. So it could well be that actually, as the generation moves on, that it does seem more appealing, but they do have to launch it at some point. But, you know, all the stuff we've already said about how this is a completely different situation compared to the PS4 Pro in terms of the PS5's life cycle thus far, availability and so on. I just don't want to have to choose between it looking good and it running well.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the case. That was the promise of this generation and it hasn't happened. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if on the PS5 Pro, in most cases, you still have to make that choice.
Yeah, but do you think there's a real noticeable difference? I think, like, admittedly, with 30 to 60 FPS, there is obviously a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, between the way it looks, I often find that, okay, maybe there's not as many flowers on the ground, but, like, it's not noticeably lower in quality.
No.
So I don't mind picking as long as like there's not a noticeable downgrade. And I feel like with most games of this generation at the moment, there isn't a significantly noticeable downgrade.
Visually, absolutely not. You're right about the frames per second one, because I played through a good chunk of God of War on fidelity mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then for ages, I was thinking, this doesn't look like it's running very well. And then realized I wasn't in performance. And then it was night and day.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how much of a difference something running in 60 frames makes. You know, in fact, it looks even better than, you know, the visual mode does, regardless of whatever upgrades there are in that capacity. I genuinely don't know half the time what the visual fidelity mode actually gives you. But I just, it's the knowledge that there's a choice.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm making, there's a trade-off here.
You feel like you're losing out.
And there shouldn't be a trade-off. Yeah. I don't, even if one is objectively better than the other, at which point, why even give us a bloody choice?
Mm.
Why is there a choice?
Well, I feel that way about ray tracing personally. Like, I know there's the stereotype that your dad or your mum can't see the difference between 30 and 60 FPS.
I can't always.
HD and 4K, yeah. Whereas I think some people can, so some people can't. And it probably depends on how exposed you are to both of those things. But I know what ray tracing is. I've seen it demonstrated, and I'm like, I understand. Mm. But if I'm swinging around a Spider-Man, I'm not going to notice if there's ray tracing going on. I'm just not. You know, people have to point it out to me when I'm watching a trailer. You know, I'll see in the comments like, oh, wow, look at the ray tracing on that car's window, or, you know, the way those puddles are ray traced. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they are. But to me, if that's one of the main selling points, I mean, 8K being the other, which I think I would notice the difference. But if it's ray tracing is one of the big points, that's to me is not enough of a reason to upgrade. Mm. But as we've said, we don't have reasons to upgrade anyway. That's not part of the argument. But yeah,
technology marches on, and you know these subtle upgrades do all add up to the point where rewind 10 years and you're like, God, it looks so much better now than it did then. But I remember when my friend got the PS4 Pro, incidentally, the same friend who's going to get the PS5 Pro when it comes out, more money than sense. He showed me excitedly, like, look how good Horizon Zero Dawn looks on my 4K TV with my PS4 Pro. And I was like, it's big because it's a big TV.
Yeah.
But unless I have a side-by-side comparison, I simply do not know what you're showing me that's different from my
experience. The only time I ever noticed a significant difference between the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Pro was when I first started playing Borderlands 3, and I had the Pro and my boyfriend had the standard PlayStation 4. And it ran like ass on the PlayStation 4, and you could barely open your inventory. Yeah. And it did look rubbish, but that's the only time I ever was like, wow, this makes a big difference that this is a PlayStation 4 Pro and not just a regular one. So, and I feel it'll be the same with the PlayStation 5 Pro.
I think it's going to be met with a big shrug, and people who want it will be over the flipping moon.
Yeah.
And slowly people will adopt it as time goes by.
Because their PS5s have broken
or
whatever. New one or,
We'll see. We'll see. It might blow us all away. Yeah. I don't think it will, but it might. We're talking like 10% increases, according to an article I read, in various areas, which I'm sure will be perceptible to us.
Yeah.
Great. Well, shall we move on to something a little strange?
Yeah, a little, I was going to say strange again, peculiar.
A little bit odd. It's weird news.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It's weird news time, time for some weird video game news. If you want to get a shout out at this point in the podcast, then why not submit a weird news story to us under the relevant social media post that goes out on a Tuesday. However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at the appropriate tier, and become a podcast producer just like
Chip Thompson's Thumbs,
GY Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Nicole Hansen,
Andy Scott,
what?
Kyle Gary.
What?
You missed one.
You skipped one.
Kyle Gary.
Oh, it's not on my list.
Oh, what? That's what weird. Have you
got? It's not there.
What have you got?
Sorry.
Your list looks shorter than ours. Anyway, we'll make sure none are missed.
Okay.
Blake Thomas.
I'm way too high.
Timothy Bentley.
Sharman Nomo.
Okay.
Great Giggity.
What? Why are you going now? Melody Elbonet.
Katie Garrett.
Me?
Well, I don't know now. Gabrielle Philippink.
Gabrielle Philippink.
Potato underscore Shaq 99.
Eric Sue.
And Big Bunny Bobby Vegas. Good. How did you sent us
this one name? Mine is the default version that I sent everyone. So I don't understand.
Well, how have Peter and I got the same name?
I don't know.
We're working off your document.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm confused.
Must have accidentally deleted a line. Sorry, Kyle Gary.
Well, Kyle Gary gets a lot more attention this week.
Or was it Andy Scott?
Both of them.
I don't know.
Kyle Gary and Andy Scott, our best friends. Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, apologies. Podcast producers.
Peter, have you got some weird news?
I've got some weird news. It was sent to us on Facebook by AJ Perry, and it's according to PCGamer.com, written by Ted Litchfield. And let me warn you, I don't like Ted Litchfield's writing style.
Okay. Sorry, okay. Ted.
Jesus.
Update. Okay. Fallout 4's lead writer reverses course, clarifies that main character is not actually a war criminal.
Okay.
Okay.
Nate from Fallout 4 is no longer due at The Hague. So there is an update to this article at the top, but first I'm going to begin with the old part of the article. Original story. Well, this was unexpected. Fallout 4 lead writer Emil Pagliarulo, saying that wrong, took to Twitter yesterday to reveal that Fallout 4's male protagonist participated in the extrajudicial execution of a Canadian partisan during the illegal US occupation of its neighbor up north in the 2070s. I always knew that guy had bad vibes. Okay.
Okay.
Let's pump the brakes here. What does all that mean? This is a quote now. Given the great vibes recently and the millions of amazing Fallout fans, that's you, I feel the time is right to share an unknown link between Fallout 1 and Fallout 4, Pagliarulo tweeted. Remember the Fallout 1 opening movie, Annexation of Canada? Same guy. No, not the shooter. It says in brackets.
What?
Jesus Christ.
I will explain this to you. It's horrid. The writing, I mean, the clunky
okay.
thing. Fallout 1, this is an end quote. Fallout 1 has the sickest opening cutscene of any game, with Maybe by the Inkspots playing over a black and white Galaxy News dispatch of our boys in annexed Canada. Two soldiers in the now iconic T-51 power armor contemplate an unarmed prisoner with one, apparently our guy, holding a plasma rifle while the other cocks a pistol. The second soldier then marches up and unceremoniously executes the prisoner.
I remember that scene. I've seen that.
Right. With the two then noticing the camera rolling and cheerfully waving, seemingly unbothered that this was caught on film. The broadcast then cuts to adverts with the very slowly panning out to reveal the bombed out city surrounding the TV. It's the perfect introduction to Fallout's haunting atmosphere and bitter, ironic sense of humor. In Fallout 4, meanwhile, your choice of protagonists are a married couple with established histories and personalities, with whoever you don't pick becoming an NPC in the game. Your lady protagonist is a successful lawyer on the home front, while Mr. Sean's dad gallivanted up the Yangtze as part of the US invasion of Canada. Now we know that, before all that biz...
What? Try again.
Now we know that before all that business, yeah. Johnny, where's my son? That's the male protagonist.
Yeah.
Was up in Saskatchewan,
yeah.
Visiting brutal imperial violence upon the Fediakin of the Tim Hortons resistance. In summary, that man who shot the guy in the opening cutscene of Fallout 1.
The boy is the protagonist.
Is not 4. The boy, but the other guy standing next to him allowing it to happen is the boy in Fallout 4, apparently.
Okay.
Is what was said by the lead writer. Update. That was fast. Shortly before this story first went live, Bethesda design director Emil Pagliarulo amended his reveal about Fallout 4's male protagonist, whose default name is Nate. Quote, I wanted to share what I thought was a cool Fallout tidbit without realizing how divisive it might be, Pagliarulo tweeted. I should have. I think that's meant to say I shouldn't have, but it says I should have.
Okay.
Not every bit of Fallout info I share is automatically canon. Nate is not a war criminal, end quote. All right, fair enough. I hope Pagliarulo isn't getting too much flack for this, since it's all theoretical history surrounding a fake guy who lives in our desktops.
Yeah.
I cannot stress enough that Nate Q Fallout 4, is what he's naming him now, is not real, and neither is America's 2072 annexation of Canada yet.
Cool.
That article could have been one paragraph.
Yeah, it could have been so much cleaner.
Could have just been the tweet.
Yeah, lead writer confirms that the guy who witnessed the execution in the opening cutscene of
Fallout 1
was the Fallout 4 dad.
Okay.
But he's not. Okay.
Okay.
Ashton, have you got some weird news?
Yeah, it was submitted by Lloyd Williams, Ross Harris, and Stephen Skodes.
Bloody hell, thanks.
This comes from the Gamer Ant, specifically the Gamer Ant who's called John Bonelli.
Of course, yeah.
Alan Wake fan buys 4,000 copies of the first game that she can't even play.
A huge
fan of Remedy Entertainment's Alan Wake buys thousands of digital copies of the original game before learning none of them actually work.
Thousands of digital copies? So she's not just collecting
cards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That you would get in retail stores. Yeah.
A devoted Alan Wake fan has bought 4,000 digital Xbox 360 codes of the 2010 games that are unfortunately unusable. And this story about what Alan Wake is, in case you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
13 years later, fans of Remedy Entertainment and Alan Wake were treated to the long-awaited sequel, Alan Wake 2. You've heard of that too. Bit of guff about the game. Right, here we go.
Annexation of Canada.
One devout Alan Wake fan loves the franchise so much that she bought thousands of copies of the 2010 original game that she can't even use. Have I said that enough? PC Games N interviewed a fan named Alyssa who purchased 4,000 Alan Wake.
Can she use them?
4,000 promotional cards from the 2010 from 2010 for $240 on eBay, each containing a code for the digital version of the game on the Xbox 360. After trying a number of the codes, Alyssa disappointed to discover that none of them allowed her to download Alan Wake, rendering the entire purchase useless. What is she going to do with 4,000 copies of the game?
Well, it doesn't render the entire purchase useless because surely she wasn't planning on redeeming them all anyway. Like, she just bought them for this because she's a fan.
She goes on to say why she did it, I think.
Right.
Okay, here we go. In reaching out to Microsoft support, Alyssa learned that these more than decade-old promo cards that shipped from Finland, the home country of Alan Wake developer Remedy Entertainment, were likely never activated to use to begin with. One might deem the purchase a bust, but Alyssa has other plans for the Alan Wake code cards. In the process of producing an Alan Wake 2 fan video, she plans to use her abundance of Alan Wake promo cards as props for a scene, fitting considering that many of Alan Wake's surrealist visuals portray thousands of pages and papers either flying around or posted on surfaces. Alyssa also expressed wanting to adorn one of her walls with the promo cards. And then here's a quote. I'll probably cover a wall in my room with the cards because that sounds funny. Also, I just really love Alan Wake.
Yeah.
So basically she bought them, how many? 4,000. And
for
guess
which
what?
Game?
Alan Wake. And guess what? They don't even work.
They don't work.
They don't work.
Yeah.
How many?
4,000, unusable, Alan Wake Xbox 360 codes, 2010.
Okay.
Would you like to know what it is?
Oh, interesting.
Did you know it had a sequel?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah.
What year?
Last year.
Okay, cool.
And did you know?
Yeah, what?
There's 4,000.
4,000 of them.
Unusable.
What's she going to do with them?
Put them on the walls.
Oh.
Oh, she making a fan film?
Yeah.
Cool.
She thought it'd be funny.
The version of that article I read is that she was just taking it in like as a bit of a joke. Like she thought, I just want a bit of memorabilia. I thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
I've got all these. And the other article said, like, was a call to action for Remedy. Like, come on, give us some recognition. She bought 4,000 copies of your old game. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there
we are.
What
are you going to do though? Just send her a copy of the game. I think she probably owns it already. But
let her meet Alan.
What?
Let him eat Alan.
I thought he said let him eat Alan, as Marie Antoinette said.
Antoinette.
Yeah. Let him eat Alan.
Is Antoinette related to the Gamer End?
Yeah, she's one of them. One of the staff members of the Gamer End.
Right, okay, I've got a new... This whole section has been a disaster so far. Right, this was submitted by Connor Bennett at cbennett_12 on Twitter. I really wanted to do the story that's been making the rounds about people who've been working out what level Lucy is from the Fallout TV show based on the XP she would have earned from her various exploits in the game. Unfortunately, every article I went to just then in detail listed everything she did in the TV show, and I saw loads of spoilers.
Yeah.
And that was really annoying.
I don't want to victim blame, but I do kind of feel like that's a bit on
no,
you.
I know. I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying I'm really annoyed that I have
and
seen
they
all
have
these
said
spoilers.
At the top, this is full of spoilers.
They might have done.
Well,
to be fair.
Ben just skipped
it. We reposted on our social medias about the fact that they'd done this, and we managed to avoid all spoilers, is all I'm saying. We just said, you know, this is the level she would have been.
Well, we didn't write an article. We wrote
We had to explain what Fallout was 12 times.
4,000 copies of Fallout.
What year did it come out? 2010. Is there a fan film? No.
Yes.
But there is a TV series.
On its way. Anyway.
So instead, I've got this news article instead. Basically, people have done that thing with Fallout. There's some bonus news for you. PlayStation Experience truck from 2006 being sold online for... How much?
$4,240
on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know. You're asking 70... for an... Oh.
$70,000.
$70,000,
yeah. Wow. $70,000.
Cheap.
The year is 2006. Okami, Bully, and Call of Duty 3 are all on your wish list.
Whoa.
Or if you're Ashton Matthews.
What year is it?
2006. You're eight.
Eight.
What's on your wish list at eight, do you think?
My Little Ponies.
Nintendogs.
Barbie. Nintendogs.
Rusks.
Would have been out that year in 2006, I think.
Rusks.
Rusks.
Probably not at eight.
Not a baby. Miller Corners.
Yeah.
Froobs or something. Anyway, what's happening?
Anyway.
But after visiting the PlayStation Experience truck and getting your hands on Sony's first handheld, nothing sits higher than the PlayStation Portable. While the games and consoles aren't included, someone is now selling the 2006 PlayStation Experience truck on Facebook Marketplace for $70,000. Spotted by Reddit user Arguing Master, the truck still comes lathered in PlayStation branding from ATV Off-Road Fury 4, SOCOM Fireteam Bravo 2, and NBA 07 on all on show, 07. The truck was part of a marketing campaign for PlayStation and would travel around the US to let fans and prospective customers have a shot at the latest and greatest games and consoles from Sony. Once parked up, its sides would unfurl and doors open to reveal a gaming paradise, letting fans get their hands on myriad consoles and games, despite this one being a few months short of also having the PlayStation 3 hooked up. Anyway, it goes on, but it's the full ass truck.
It all unfolds.
It's got posters on the walls.
The Playmobil, you might call it.
Yeah.
That was on your wish list at eight.
The Playmobil.
On my eighth birthday, I had a party at an owl sanctuary and I held an owl.
An owl sanctuary. That's cool. Yeah. Live in your world, play in ours, it says on the side of the truck. It's all a bit faded and tired now, and I don't know what anyone would do with it, but it's a very cool piece of gaming history. You could feasibly live in it, yeah. Anyway, there we are. The truck would soon be retired as Sony released its PlayStation 3 version to tour the US in its place. It doesn't appear to have had much love since then, with the current owner saying it was out of service for several years and pulled out of storage with myriad issues like dry rotted tires. But a lot of the comments underneath that article are sort of rejoicing that they recognize it, that they went into that truck at one point in their lives when it was touring the US.
Was there a giraffe puppet in it?
Giraffe puppet.
Yeah. Did you ever like have Toys the truck us? With the giraffe puppet in?
Yeah, I think you talked about this. I was not familiar with
like,
this at all.
The PSHE truck where there was a giraffe told you not to do drugs.
Oh, no. I don't think I had that.
No.
Shame.
Damn. That's why I do so many drugs now.
By that point, we were already old enough to be doing drugs.
Yeah, that's true.
Or just doing drugs.
Yeah.
So there we are. If you want to buy that, $70,000, go and Facebook Marketplace it up.
Cheap.
Somewhere out there, anyway.
Loving these budgie impressions.
Cheap. Big discussion. Big discussion time. It's time for the big video game discussion that this week comes courtesy of, it's Connor Bennett again. With the critical success of the Fallout... He did my weird news. Oh. With the critical success of the Fallout show and other recent examples like The Last of Us, Arcane and Castlevania, are we seeing the proof in the pudding that games suit TV shows better than movies? Or is it more just a case of the right teams getting their hands on the right licenses? Jesus.
It's the work group chat. It's popping off.
I'm breaking up a storm.
No, it's about the flooding. It's the plumber.
It's a
plumber. No.
Do we need to...
No. It's not.
What's happening?
It's not here. It's not coming till next week now.
Okay. Is that what
it's popping off in the group chat.
Is that what was being discussed?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't need to go over there and move our camera.
Fine.
Everything's fine?
We're all good. I double checked. We're all good. It's not coming till next week.
Thanks.
Peter.
Yeah.
You plan on watching the Fallout show?
I plan on watching the Fallout show. I like to watch my shows legit. I know there are other means by which one can... perhaps watch certain televisual feasts. But I like to support the streaming channel of choice.
Yeah, Jeff needs it.
Yeah. What's Jeff going
to
do?
Well, it's not because I want Jeff to have the money. It's because I want them to know if there's a thing that I like, mm-hmm. that they should make more of it.
Yeah.
So I am planning on post-payday getting a month of Prime and watching it all. There's also a couple of shows on Prime that I've been wanting to watch as well. So I'm going to have a big old Prime month. Have a lovely time.
Happy Prime Month.
Thanks. Yeah.
Just
my
in
own
time.
Personal Prime Month. Hey, maybe I'll subscribe to Triple Jump on Twitch.
Using your sub.
Yeah.
Using Amazon Twitch Prime, whatever it's called. I've got three words for you, Connor Bennett.
I am tired.
And Ben.
Yes.
Ashton. Mario and Sonic.
Movies.
What? Films work sometimes as
yes.
well nowadays.
And Uncharted.
Yeah, well, I've thought
great
about it.
Five words.
Yeah, Papa yeah. John's. You're absolutely right, Connor Bennett, that a bunch of TV shows are doing very well based on video games. There was also the flipping Dragon one, the Far Cry Blood Dragon one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was
I
it
didn't
called?
Watch
the anime.
That.
Yeah.
I think it was called Far Cry Blood
it.
Dragon.
Yeah, it was just called that. Yeah, and I really enjoyed that. It was a bit weird, but then so is Far Cry Blood Dragon. But so certainly you're absolutely right that especially nowadays, nowadays TV shows are doing very well in terms of video game adaptations. But I think the same is true of movies as well. So although you might be right that streaming series are perhaps... an even better place for video game adaptations. I certainly think that it just appears to be that time and budgets and creatives have been kind to video game adaptations in general. And now we're getting, yes, good TV shows, but also good movies generally. We're still getting some dud movies, to be fair, but then we're probably getting some dud TV shows. I think the first series of Halo didn't go down particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was divisive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2, I think, is perhaps doing a bit better, but, you know, probably wasn't a dud, but, you know, there are still some successes and less successful streaming series, just like there are with movies. But specifically talking about the format of the streaming show, I think there is something to be said about an episodic thing and how that relates to how you play games. You know, we consume our games in a kind of episodic fashion, if you like, either literally, if it's something like a Telltale game, or kind of artificially by playing it for a couple of hours every night. That's a bit like sitting down and watching an episode of your TV show. And, you know, it's all very, it depends on the kind of game, but quite often, certainly with something like Fallout, it's broken up into chunks, quests they are called, which translate probably quite well into episode of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they have to do this time. So I think in that sense, it maybe is a better format for adapting video games, but don't sleep on those films, you know?
I've watched two episodes of the Fallout TV mm-hmm. show. Have you watched some episodes?
I've also only watched two episodes.
And I've been really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I think that it looks really good. I think that they've kind of captured the soul of...
The dark humor, definitely.
Fallout. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And it's got the guy who played Rico from Hannah Montana in it. And I think that's funny.
Who?
So, her brother...
Oh.
He played Rico in Hannah Montana. So cool. Whenever I see him, I just think of Rico, because I used to do that all the time. And whenever I see him, that's all I think about. Wow. So anyway, he's in it, so that's nice. Great. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it, and I'm excited to watch more. I think they should have released it weekly, though.
Yeah. It's almost like they didn't know what they had.
Yeah, because everyone's been really enjoying it, and I think they've already, like, it's going to die out in, like, a week because everyone's going to have already watched everything. Mm. But I do think it's great. And I also think that there is definitely cases to be made that video games adaptations have been potentially more hit than miss as TV shows than movies.
Yeah.
And I think that, like you say, a lot of them do lend themselves really well into being episodic. I think Fallout is an interesting case because obviously the whole nature of Fallout is that you are an individual character going out and doing whatever you want in your storyline, whereas obviously things like The Last of Us and to an extent Castlevania is that you are following a narrative and the narrative will not change from playthrough to playthrough. It's exactly the same. So I think they've almost got more scope with the Fallout TV show to kind of like branch out into the universe and explore new stories, which I think is really interesting. But I do think that this is kind of... I can't think of any other examples of open world RPG type games that have translated into video game, into TV shows. We've had Twisted Metal and Halo, but obviously they have their narratives. Mm. And a lot of the animes also have narratives. So I think it is one of the first ones to be...
It's just the world. Like
yeah, the world. Adaptive, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rather than a story.
And I think it gives them a lot more flexibility in terms of what they do with the storyline, which I think is really interesting because no one knows where it's going to go, whereas Last of Us, you kind of know what's going to happen. Yeah. But yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And I think that maybe it is just a matter of people getting their hands on good IPs and being talented with them. But I do think that a lot of them have done really well. I can't think of a TV show that's properly... failed. I mean,
it's been like really panned and
because
really
Halo wasn't necessarily loved by fans of the franchise, but has found its niche with people who like the TV show. Mm-hmm. The Witcher, obviously, like has done really, really well outside of just fans of the video game. So yeah, I think there's loads of different kind of facets of people watching it, and I think that Fallout has done something really good with what they've done with it.
Hey, wait till the Borderlands film comes out. It's going to blow TV series out of the water.
You'll flip and eat your words when the Borderlands movie comes out.
I cannot wait for that movie. I literally am going to be there day one in the theatre. Can't wait.
I was at the cinema the other day and they played a trailer
Did they?
Yeah, it was the trailer we've already seen, but I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. There it is.
I got my issue of Empire magazine, which I'm still... desperately trying to justify getting each month. And they had a bit in it about the Borderlands movie. Because usually what happens is the Empire magazine arrives. I'm like, oh, great, homework.
Yeah.
And I like flick through it at lightning speed. And if like something catches my eye and I saw the Borderlands movie, I was like, oh, Borderlands movie. And they didn't really say much apart from the fact that, yeah, it's got a really star-studded cast. Kevin Hart's going to like kick ass in it.
We know nothing
it's
about be this
so
movie
good
in it.
Yeah, I don't know how he got those people in it. Anyway, in terms of the Fallout TV show, I agree with both of you. I am enjoying it so far, and I'm excited to watch more of it.
I kept seeing people be like, oh my god, it's so woke. And then I realized what they mean is there's a woman and a black man in the story.
Oh right.
And I was like, oh no.
We don't need to talk about that though, because that's a
silly
bollocks criticism and I don't have the energy to address it. So I'm really liking it so far. And in terms of answering Connor's question, I think it's a bit of both in terms of finding the right people and, you know, the appropriateness for the format. But it also goes for basically any adapted, you know, material. Mm-hmm. So books, comics, whatever. If you're following a particular plot line, I think it's far easier to deep dive into the world and the lore and really get stuck in with a TV show than it is with a movie.
Yeah.
And interestingly, historically, the best video game adaptation movies, the two you've cited, Sonic and Mario, come from games that are not known for their story.
Yeah.
They're all about the gameplay, and they have to, you know, when they make a film, they basically have to extrapolate and invent a fiction mm-hmm. around the characters that people know and love. Which
Sonic being significantly removed from the games in terms of like what the narrative of Sonic.
Exactly. They just took Sonic out and put him in a movie.
Those games are all about literally the mascot. It's the image of Sonic and the image of Mario doing their thing, and it doesn't really matter.
Mario is at least closer to what happens in the games than the Sonic movie is, but
So that's, I think it's maybe, it's slightly telling that those two, as successes as video game adapted into movies, my sentence is just going in circles. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that perhaps that's also something to consider as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
I think if they tried to adapt Fallout into a movie, it could possibly work, again, because they're, even in this TV show, they're not adapting plot points from the games. They're just inventing their own stuff within the realms of Fallout.
Yeah.
But if they tried to adapt The Last of Us into a movie, I think that would be way harder because you've not got enough time to really get into what makes The Last of Us so good.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
part of the problem with Uncharted was that it was...
It was like the first three games combined. A smash up of a bunch of stuff
and like none of them really landed or made that much sense.
It was crap, but like in a fun way, but it was rubbish. And it's also just really good for the IP itself as well. I've got some stats about how more people are playing Fallout at the moment.
It's made me want to go and play Fallout.
Well, this is it. I think, honestly, the next game I'm going to jump into will probably be the PS5 native version of Fallout 4 that comes out at the end of the month because I'd quite like to play it through the lens of having played the TV show. In fact, I may just create
the TV
show. I might just make Lucy from the TV show and just do a playthrough like that. This was on April the 16th, so these numbers may have fluctuated since then. This is from GameSpot. Fallout 4 moved up from 63rd place on Steam to 4th. Fallout 76 moved from 54th to 7th, and even Fallout New Vegas was up there from 83rd to 10th place.
Wow.
The raw numbers on Steam charts show Fallout 4 peaked around 83,000 concurrent players over the weekend, where previous monthly peaks would only be around 25,000 players. Fallout 76 peaked around 39,500 players, more than double its average monthly peak. And even 2010's Fallout New Vegas saw 20,000 people online at once over the weekend. Yeah. So, like, it's good. Mm-hmm. When you make... I think Todd Howard was interviewed and he said that he'd turned down offers to adapt Fallout over the years because it just didn't feel right. But then he'd made friends with these guys. And I think one of the people who's heavily involved is Jonathan Nolan, the brother of Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, I think he's a director.
Yeah, so like they've got some really big talent behind it. And you can tell, I think it is just as much a case of having the right people behind it as anything else. And this could have gone either way. It's pretty apparent that Amazon maybe didn't believe in it too much, which is why they dumped all the episodes at once. And it would have been nice to keep the conversation going week to week. Mm-hmm. But also, because I'm greedy and selfish, I quite like the fact that they're all there ready for me to watch. As annoying as it is that I'm having to dodge spoilers. But
it works for me next month, being able to watch it all in one go rather than, you know, across however many weeks and having to get multiple months of Prime. But it won me round, actually, like... sort of last minute, because looking at the stills that were released, I was like,
bit cosplay.
Yeah,
it always looks a bit cosplay though, doesn't
it? Yeah, and I was also like, do I want to look at a ghoul for all that time? Like, I get a bit freaked out by being able to see up inside his nasal cavity. It kind of creeps me out a bit. But
he has a nose in real life. That's any
he does.
Better.
Yeah.
That makes you feel
safe. Did
you hear
that he fell asleep in his trailer?
They paint it green. If that makes you feel better. Imagine it is green.
Did you hear that one day he fell asleep on set during the day and he said I had like a weird nap. You know when you're a bit like And when he opened his eyes, he was sitting in front of a mirror and he said he scared the absolute crap out of himself. He was like terrified.
Oh, Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
Brilliant name.
But when I saw the trailer that they, you know, close to release, I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, I'm definitely going to give that a go. And from everything I've heard, I'm looking forward to it.
It's great. It's just really fun. It definitely makes me want to play Fallout. I think it's a shame that Bethesda games take so long to make that there isn't any kind of new Fallout available. But I think it's definitely the right time for them to release a native next-gen version with some extra, you know, touch-ups. Because I haven't played Fallout 4 since it came out and I got the Platinum Trophy and then was like, done and dusted, put that on the shelf, never play it again. Mm-hmm. And I've never felt a compulsion to go back to it over all these years. And
is
this makes me want to play it.
The most recent one?
Yeah, that's the online one.
Yeah, I played that and I didn't love it, and then I think that put me off, and then I haven't actually played Fallout 4, but maybe it's one of the
And yeah, by all accounts,
everyone always says, so I need to go back and give it a go.
You do, and Fallout 4 is obviously the most modern one, single player wise. Mm-hmm. I personally feel that, I mean, it's definitely nostalgia to an extent, but I prefer Fallout 3 in terms of its setting and its and its narrative. And obviously people love Fallout New Vegas, which is also excellent.
Yeah.
But Fallout 4, I think, is probably the best place for them to start if they're going to start, you know, bringing some native ports over. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you heard the conspiracy that
he's a war criminal.
Yes.
I was going to say.
The update was partly timed because of the release of that Fallout.
Oh, yeah, the Fallout London mod. They've had to push it, haven't they?
Yeah.
Because it might break
it.
And some people have said, oh, we think it's intentional that they knew that we were about to release this. It's basically the biggest unofficial mod that has ever been done for the game.
That's so crap for them. I really could, yeah, because they're now just going to have to wait for this native, this next gen version to come out and then bug test all over again to see if it breaks everything. And presumably, all the mods on PC will, in some respect, stop functioning as well.
Yeah.
They'll all need updating, which is a huge headache. But again, selfish. I'm on PlayStation 5 and I don't get to play with mods. Yes. So I'm looking forward to playing it. But I do feel for the Fallout London guys. Mm-hmm. That's crap timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Too crap.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Do you want to? I think so.
Is it Ashton?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Well, if Ashton says it's it, then it's it.
It's it.
Well, you can find us all over the place on the internet. Peter's going to tell you a couple of them now.
You can find us at youtube.com and twitch.tv/teamtriplejump. We do all of our videos on YouTube and all of our live streams on Twitch, of course. And hey, if you're like me and you're thinking of getting Amazon Prime for perhaps just a short period of time or perhaps permanently, when you've got it, part of the bundle involves or includes a Twitch sub at no extra cost, so you can redeem that against us and get all the normal benefits of being a subscriber, but you're not paying anything on top of your Amazon Prime.
Hell yeah.
Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, on all of which we are at Team Triple Jump. And if you want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/Team Triple Jump.
TripleJ.mup. That's TripleJ.mp. That's our website. That's where you can find links to everything that we do. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps. Something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. Just enough time to talk about this week's sponsor again, which, of course, is as follows. The Fallout TV show and Cosgrove Hall Films are excited to collaborate, announcing this week that due to the popularity of protagonist Lucy and her now iconic catchphrase, Okie Dokie, infinitely less popular children's claymation nightmare, Okie Doke, will feature in the second season in a starring role.
Good.
You excited?
Oh, exciting.
Really excited.
Good. Prepare yourselves, everybody. Look after yourselves as well, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.